WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. Some Americans are finally getting out of Gaza. CBS's Linda Kenyon has response from the White House.
Safe passage for wounded Palestinians and foreign nationals to exit Gaza has started.
The president says they include dual passport holders and the injured. And Mr. Biden says it was part of a team effort.
I want to thank our partners in the region, and particularly Qatar, who've worked so closely with us to support negotiations to facilitate the departure of these citizens.
Meantime, the bloodshed continues. CBS's Tina Krause.
In Jerusalem, mourners gathered for the funeral of one of at least 16 soldiers Israel says have been killed since the start of the ground invasion. While in Tel Aviv, sirens warned of incoming rockets, sending Israelis running to shelters.
Airstrikes have also killed Hamas militants in Gaza. The Federal Reserve decided not to raise interest rates today. Here's CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
If you are a saver, you are so happy because you are now seeing short-term savings rates in high-yield accounts, in money market accounts, in short-term certificates of deposit. You're seeing 5%.
That's the highest in decades. Donald Trump Jr. took the stand today at his father's fraud trial in New York. CBS's Stacey Lynn.
He said his father was not involved with decision-making during his presidency, but said that he has made some decisions since he left the White House. He also told the court he was aware that the company's former chief financial officer, Alan Weisselberg, left the company after nearly half a century because he was indicted for tax fraud in 2021, but said he knew little else about his exit.
In Oregon, thousands of teachers at public schools in Portland are on strike now for the first time. Venus Keller teaches first grade.
We're asking for help for our students. We're asking for more mental health supports, smaller class sizes, safe and clean classrooms free of mold and rodents and under 87 degrees, which was what my classroom was the other day.
Hundreds of actors also picketed today outside Disney Studios in Burbank as their contract talks continued. Chief SAG negotiator Duncan Crabtree Ireland.
Everyone knows there's a lot at stake in this negotiation. The industry has to change so that creative talent is respected and treated fairly. That's what we're fighting for.
The Texas Rangers could win the World Series tonight.
Now Seager to right center field, way back.
Sound courtesy of Fox, Texas beat the Arizona Diamondbacks 11-7 last night in Game 4. Game 5 starts in about 2 hours. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
A psoriasis flare-up?
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is considering whether to hear a lawsuit to overturn the state's school choice program. WisPolitics reports conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley says the high court should have rejected the lawsuit. She says it's a policy matter for lawmakers to consider and not a matter for the courts. Chief Justice Annette Ziegler joined Bradley's dissent. Interested parties have until the 14th to weigh in. Open enrollment in the health insurance marketplace is underway. Democratic state lawmakers are reintroducing bills they say will make health care in Wisconsin better and more affordable. One bill would expand BadgerCare eligibility for some people up to 133% of the federal poverty level. Another bill would create a BadgerCare public option to buy health coverage on the state exchange. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Badgers getting ready to face the Hoosiers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers will be on the road this weekend to take on Indiana at Memorial Stadium. With a growing list of injuries, does that mean that opportunities for other players to get more playing time? Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Yeah, there's potential for a lot of guys to get on the field in these final four games. Haven't played at all, you know, with the rule of, you know, allowing young guys that they got four games. So there could be some situations where we start to throw some guys in, maybe special teams.
NFL, the news sinking in here at Lambeau feel that defensive back Rasul Douglas is no longer in the building. The Packers traded him to the Bills for a third-round pick and essentially to take money off the salary cap for next year. Jair Alexander asked, how did he find out the news?
I actually found out this morning coming into work, so I made sure I text him right away. I didn't expect Rasul to be gone. You know, he's a vet throughout his time here. It's just the NFL.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the KrebsCast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow and a high near 40 degrees. A little more sun Friday, high in the mid-40s. Rain chances this weekend as clouds thicken and temperatures will stay in the 40s for us for highs. Right now it's 33.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
This is the Empowered Caregiver Show. If you are a caregiver or know someone who is, this show is meant to uplift you through education and support, while also lifting up every caregiver's invaluable role in society. Now, here is the Empowered Caregiver and your host, Liza Helen Brand.
You are listening to The Empowered Caregiver, and I am your host, Liza Helen Brand. I just want to start out by saying happy National Family Caregivers Month, and I would love to hear from you guys tonight. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. Everyone knows a caregiver. Whether you would like to call in and tell me about the ups and downs of your caregiving journey, or you want to acknowledge and celebrate a person you know, give me a call, 844-967-2789. I would also love to get input on what you think should be done on either a federal, national, or local level to support family caregivers. It's Family Caregiver Month, so let's talk about all things family caregiving. So let me just start by giving a little history about National Family Caregiver Month. It actually was started by the National Family Caregivers Association, which is now called CAN, or Caregiver Action Network. And they began promoting the National Family Caregiver Month way back in 1994. They're the ones who spearheaded the national celebration of National Caregiver Awareness Month every November. In 1997, President Bill Clinton signed the National Family Caregivers Week Presidential Proclamation. Ever since, every U.S. president has done the same. In honor of National Family Caregivers Month, I would like to take just a second to read to you Joe Biden's proclamation to caregivers. He wrote, "During National Family Caregiver Month, we would like to recognize the love and sacrifice of more than 50 million Americans providing crucial care and medical assistance to parents, children, siblings, and other loved ones, ensuring their health and dignity. Today, far too many Americans find themselves sandwiched between the enormous tasks of supporting aging parents, raising young families, and trying to earn a living. Others bear the responsibility of caring for loved ones with a disability or look after wounded, ill, or injured service members and veterans who have sacrificed so much for us all. The truth is, at some point in our lives, each of us will likely need to be a family caregiver, but the burden falls especially hard on those who cannot afford support. Women, people of color, and immigrants shoulder a disproportionate share of the obligations, sometimes forced to leave good jobs instead to provide care. Their work is profound service to their families and our nation, but they are still too often unseen, undervalued, and unpaid. No one should have to choose between looking after a loved one or earning a paycheck. Joe Biden goes on to say in his declaration for National Family Caregivers Month, my administration is committed to easing that squeeze on working families that are getting caregivers the resources and respect they deserve. The Department of Health and Human Services National Strategy to Support Family Caregivers outlines nearly 350 actions the federal government can take to support family caregivers' health, well-being, and financial security. Our American Rescue Plan provided $145 million to help the National Family Caregiver Support Programs deliver counseling, training, and short-term relief to family and other informal care providers. We have expanded the Department of Veterans Affairs program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers so more veterans can have the financial and mental health support they deserve. And we helped launch the Hidden Helpers Initiative to serve the 2.3 million children now living with a disabled veteran. Meanwhile, we have pushed Congress to lower child and elder care costs across the country and provide paid family and medical leave. We have more to do to win this fight, and we are not done, he goes on to say, that he will not give up. Family caregivers are the backbone of our nation's long-term care system, doing essential work with devotion, often at a great emotional and financial cost. And I would also like to add, in addition to physical health, there is many studies out there showing the implications to one's health as being a family caregiver. But he goes on to say, we owe them. It is time to bring their service out of the shadows and celebrate and support them in living their own happy, healthy, and fulfilling lives. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States, by virtue of the authority invested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim November as National Family Caregiver Month. I encourage all Americans to reach out to those who provide care for our nation's family members, friends, and neighbors in need to honor and thank them. Thank you, Joe Biden. And I know that he is really taking this seriously. And I do believe what he has to say when he has said that he is committed to make a difference. He already has done a lot on the veterans front and is in support of the organizations that are trying to make a difference every day. I was just at Washington last week, and I will talk a little bit more about that later, but I would love to hear your thoughts on Biden's proclamation. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. There's one thing that came to mind to me when reading that, and that is when he said, we are working towards getting caregivers the resources and respect that they deserve. In all of my conversations with caregiving, respect is not, it's honestly not a word that I've heard come up. I would love to hear your thoughts on that. You know, do you think that caregivers give the respect that they deserve? And my first initial thought was yes. But then, to be honest, I had to reflect on all of the times that I've found myself, especially when I was in Washington, D.C., saying, oh, I'm just a caregiver. When I was out in D.C. for the first ever National Caregiver Summit, there were a lot of key players in the room. There was the National Cancer Society, AARP is probably one of the huge, the biggest leaders in the nation regarding caregiver issues. What else? The Dementia Society, a lot of key stakeholders were there at this National Caregiver Summit. And, you know, when we had the opportunity to mix and mingle, I found myself saying, I'm just a caregiver. Well, I found myself saying that once because once was all it took. I felt like a lot of those people were, their jaws were dropping. What do you mean you're just a caregiver? We're having, you know, we're at a national summit trying to make a difference for caregivers across the nation. You can't identify as just a caregiver. So I had to step back and reflect on that. And, you know, there's truth to that. We should be wearing this as a badge of honor. And I don't think that most of us do that. Most of us, I feel, and this is why I'm doing the work that I'm doing, don't even acknowledge that they're caregivers. I've said it a lot, and I will keep saying it. You know, that the majority of people see themselves as husband, wife, father, son, brother, sister, what have you, but they don't see themselves as a caregiver. Now, I'm not saying that you need to walk around identifying yourself as a caregiver, or, you know, when you're with a loved one saying, I'm here as the caregiver, but I think it is important for all people that take on this role to acknowledge that there's implications to it. Like I had just shared earlier, you know, it impacts your physical health, mental health, physical well-being, you know, just about every area of your life. And knowing that just allows you to do what you need to do to stay healthy and safe and have some money in the bank at the end of the day. So I do think caregivers should know and understand what it means to be a caregiver. I don't think they have to go around telling everybody that they're a caregiver or identify as a caregiver. I think they just have to know that it's a role above and beyond being a loved one to the person that they're caring for, and that there's implications, and that there's also people out there, resources, and support, and getting connected into that caregiver community. I don't think you have to be in waist deep, but I think every caregiver out there should know that there's caregiver resources and support. And, you know, many great people, like I had the opportunity to meet last week, that are working day and night effortlessly to make changes for caregivers. They realize that this is a difficult and for many people unsustainable role that we as a nation need to address. Like I mentioned, the caregivers are the backbone of the nation, and if they were to up and walk out, I think we would crumble quick. We rely on them heavily. So we're going to talk a little bit more about National Family Caregiver Month and my trip to Washington, D.C. after this short break.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts.
Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
This is Liza Helen Brand, and you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm sorry, you guys. I guess that is one of my new favorite songs. I just fell into, well, honestly, almost sleep, but La La Land listening to it. So today I am talking a little bit about the National Family Caregiver Month. And I would love to hear your thoughts. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Earlier in the last segment, I had read through Joe Biden's proclamation that he gave to family caregivers, and I was a little shocked by the word respect. He said that it was his job to work towards getting caregivers the resources and respect that they deserve, and I would love to know your thoughts on that. Do you feel like you get the respect that you deserve? And I just also wanted to talk a little bit more about why is it that caregivers get their own month. And I think that it is a great opportunity to thank and honor family caregivers. I think that's something we should be doing every day, quite frankly. But what I really would like to do is use it as an opportunity to raise awareness on family caregiving and the caregiver crisis that's going on in America, because he did say something about having caregivers coming out of the shadows. And right now I really feel that's kind of a place where the caregivers are. I don't think it's a common word. I think people are confused by it. You know, there's many different types of caregiving, which just made me think one thing that I posted on Facebook, which I would love to have somebody call in today, is I wanted to hear some of the stories of the family caregivers out there, either from the caregivers themselves or for somebody that would like to honor a caregiver that they know. So I posted that on Facebook, and I had a relative that said, oh yeah, I saw that, but I don't really know, you know, who's the caregiver. Is it somebody caring for the parents, somebody caring for a kid? Like, I didn't quite get it. And it can be confusing, because I think there are lots of different types of caregivers, whether it be professional or, like I had mentioned, if you're caring for an aging parent in some way, you're a caregiver. I feel like I should do that as a redneck, right? The redneck, you know, you might be a caregiver if, right? You might be a caregiver if you notice every time you wake up, your mom's in your living room, something like that. So aging parent, caregiver, yes. Having somebody with a disability in your life, caregiver, yes. Caring for a veteran, yes. Somebody that is going through a chronic illness, you know, doesn't mean that they're going to have it forever, but you know, people that are struggling with cancer and different medical illnesses and you're caring for them. Yes. So what it really comes down to is, somebody that relies on you, somebody that you are giving a level of support to. Parenting, definitely form of caregiving. However, to me, parenting is a little different. When you parent somebody, or when you're a parent, the goal is, right, that this person matures, becomes more responsible, independent. At least that's what we're crossing our fingers for. I've got a 17-year-old. Kind of iffy, but that's what we're crossing our fingers for. Your children, they grow up, they jump out of the nest and fly and go their way. So yes, a portion of your life is caregiving. And yes, you definitely go through many of the same experiences that other caregivers go through, as far as never enough time, never enough money, never enough help, you know, so definitely a form of caregiving. But what I like to focus on, what my focus on is on when I am talking about caregiving, is those people that are providing a level of support ongoing until the end of time, right? It ends when one of you is no longer there. And it's those people that really need support, because it's an ongoing thing. Let's see, we've got a caller on the line. No.
We'll take them after the next break. We're just about ready to wrap up here.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Nate, for jumping in, because I could not read that from afar. So as I was saying, there are a lot of different types of caregiving. And why do we have a caregiving month? Because caregiving can be tedious. It can be repetitive. It can be physically challenging. It can be emotionally straining. For many caregivers, they sacrifice their own well-being to take care of their loved ones. With that being said, and I always want to make sure I add this, being a caregiver can be one of the most amazing experiences in a person's life. It is profoundly rewarding and satisfying to know that you are there to help a person out no matter what. You got their back. So I am not saying that it is a terrible role by any means. I'm saying it has implications and it can be challenging and wonderful and very meaningful to those that care for others. So just wanted to rattle off real quickly. I know we have just a minute here before we go into commercial, but what are ways that we can honor family caregivers? Actually, I'll save it to when we come back. Think about it. Give me a call. How can we honor the family caregivers that we know in our life?
The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Coach Bobby Knight, known for winning three NCAA championships and coaching the U.S. to the 1984 Olympic gold medal, did not mince words.
When my time
on earth is gone and my activities here are past. I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
His family says on social media that the former Indiana coaching giant died today. He was 83. President Biden is praising the safe passage of more civilians out of Gaza, including Americans.
Working nonstop to get Americans out of Gaza as soon and as safely as possible. This is the result of intense and urgent American diplomacy with our partners in the region.
Unable to reach a contract over pay and other issues, Portland, Oregon's public school teachers are on strike. This parent says about students.
I'm really concerned about how long it's going to go and what they're going to lose education-wise from that.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison on Monday. That's the third death at Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy reports won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivered the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva on Wednesday. The veteran conservative justice didn't spend much time addressing her clashes with the court's new liberal majority. Chief Ziegler instead focused on improving court security and mental health treatment options for offenders. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, a low in the low 20s. A mix of sun and clouds tomorrow and a high near 40 degrees. A little more sun Friday, high in the mid 40s. Rain chances this weekend as clouds thicken and temperatures will stay in the 40s for us for highs. Right now it's 33.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically like hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off. You know, they picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I would love to hear from you guys tonight. This is the kickoff to National Family Caregivers Month. It is a time to thank and honor the caregivers in our life. So if you have somebody that you know is a caregiver and you want to give them a shout out, let me tell you, I want to give them a shout out too. So give me a call and let me know what makes them an awesome caregiver. If you're a caregiver yourself, go ahead and give me a call and tell me about your caregiving journey. I do this show each and every week to represent caregivers, and the more that I can hear their stories and learn from them, the better that I can do my job. So go ahead and give me a call at 1-844-967-2789. That's 1-844-967-2789. And it looks like we have a caller on the line right now. Sherry from Horicon, welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for blessing them. There are two blessings. I worked in healthcare many years, and but my sister Rhonda is like the most wonderful caregiver in the whole wide world. My dad had cancer for like 20 years, and he took care of my mom, and she had a heart attack and a stroke. Then she got paralyzed and was in a wheelchair, and they lived in Wisconsin. I live in Wisconsin. And they had a home in Arizona, and my sister lives in Arizona. And so they moved out there full time, and Dad kept trying to take care of her, but his cancer got bad, and Rhonda had to take him to doctor appointments all the time, and it was and take care of Mom, get her up in the morning, and you know, and she's high maintenance. Praise the Lord, Dad passed in February, and he had like 12 cancers.
Oh, wow.
And,
sorry for your loss.
All that. Rhonda took care of them. And so anyway, now she takes care of Mom. Her back is hurting. She has to lift her and put her into the wheelchair and, you know, transfer her and...
Yeah. Is Rhonda living with?
No, Mom's in an assisted living.
Okay.
But they don't do anything for her. So she goes over there every day at 7:30 in the morning in Arizona time and gets her ready, gets her breakfast. You know, and then goes back and lunch, goes back and dinner, goes back and forth like numerous times. And she is just like a miracle. And my sister Lori lives in St. Louis. I live in Wisconsin and Mom lives in Arizona now. So I can't help. So I go through the part of, I want to be there and help, but I can't help. And,
sure.
And she's like, nobody's here to help me. It's only on me. But she doesn't have any support groups, but she does have her church. And she's totally with her church. And her job really, 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 really helps. I mean, whatever Mom has to do or Dad had, you know, doctor appointments and stuff. And
so her job's flexible. Her job offers the flexibility.
Yeah. She didn't get paid during it.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's
they allowed her to take off.
That's good. You know? Yeah.
I think that what needs to do is when you have to take off to take care of a family member, somebody should step up, because poor Rhonda, I mean.
Right. I mean, that is one thing that Biden has spoke out. I can't remember if it was in the proclamation that I just read or if it was at a different time, but having paid family leave and having that separate from your vacation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like this year, I have osteoporosis real bad, and I had a broken hip, and my daughter came up and helped me a lot, and my ex-husband and I are best friends, and you know, they both took off work to take care of me, and but no pay.
Right. Right. No pay. And a lot of times those same people are dipping into, you know, to their personal days and their vacation days.
And I, you know, and then, you know, that's not right.
No, I mean, I feel like caregivers provide billions. I mean, I don't feel there's data to back this up. They provide billions of dollars worth of unpaid care. So to give somebody a day off so they can do that or some compensation to be able to do that, I really feel is kind of the least that you know someone can do. So I really hope that passes the Family Care Leave Act, that, you know, they expand on that to include not just immediate family. It can be all sorts of different family that are taking care of someone.
Rhonda's still, like my sister, she's still working and trying to take care of mom at the same time and doctor appointments and everything, you know, and my mom is 89. My dad was 93. In February when he passed. So, I mean, it's
a challenge. And, you know, it's a challenge not only for you and Rhonda, I'm sure, but the 53 million other people. And, you know, we just don't.
I know. I think it's terrible.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't go out crying in the streets. We just do it without saying a peep. I think for the most part,
I know.
Right? Because it's something that you do.
When Rhonda's at her highest level of stress, she'll let go. And, you know, and then she'll just,
Well, there's so.
Mommy, I wish I could help you. I can't help you. I'm way over here in Wisconsin.
Right. You know? Right. Well, I'm gonna give you a few ideas, and then I'd like for you to hang on to the line because, in my efforts to honor Rhonda and all of the other caregivers out there, I have a small self-care little gift box that I put together, and I absolutely would love to send one to Rhonda.
Send her one. Yes.
I'll have you hang on the line, and Nate will take that information. And thank you so much for the call.
Well, thank you for your show. I listen to you all the time, and I think your husband is great on the doubles.
Thank you. I will let him know. But I appreciate your listenership, and if you want to call in and tell me your family caregiving story, whether it's somebody that you want to honor or whether it's the work that you are doing yourself, what's going great, where could you use help, maybe either at a federal, national, or local level. Give me a call at 1-844-967-2789. And I know one thing that Sherry had shared is, you know, feeling a little helpless back in Wisconsin when mom and dad are being supported by her sister out in Arizona. And a lot of people are in that situation. And whether it be, you know, long miles away or just across the street, I came across a resource that said, you know, what are some ways that we can honor family caregivers? And I will say, first and foremost, provide respite. Just help them out. Give them a break. Say, you know what? I can watch so-and-so. Even if you're nervous as all could be, you can do it for an hour, right? For an hour nap so they can go run an errand. Finding respite help is extremely difficult. And I will tell you that I had the great fortune of finding a respite care provider for my son that has autism over the summer months when he wasn't in school, and going through all the red tape and the hoopla to get this girl signed up so his IRIS funding could pay for it. It took the whole summer. She never got paid. She did get paid. We paid her out of our personal income funds just for some help. And not only did it provide respite for me, not that I need a ton of respite for my son. He's just home from college. I love spending time with him, but it provides respite for him as well. You know, some of those that are in other situations, I really wanted him to have the opportunity to be out in the community. And could I take him out in the community? Yes, I could. Would I take him out in the community? Yes, I would. Does he want to be out in the community as a 19-year-old male with his mom? Nope. So that's where finding respite comes in. But there's a lot of people that rely on respite just so they can do basic things, run to the store, get a nap, attend a doctor's appointment of their own. So providing respite is probably the gold star. You do that and you will most likely have a slightly better Christmas present this year than you did last. Maybe. Try it and see. Prove me right, prove me wrong. The next one in is just check in and listen. And you don't have to solve problems. Sometimes I hate venting to my husband because he always wants to solve the problem or whatever I'm venting about. You don't have to solve problems. You might not know how to solve problems. You might not know what the heck they're talking about. Doesn't matter. Just listen. And if they want advice, you know, ask if you have an idea for them. And the other thing is, and this is where I really struggle, so somebody can call in and give me some help on this one. When you are offering help, be specific. It's so easy to say, well, let me know if there's anything I can do for you. Oh, that must be so hard. If there's anything I can do to help. Those are all very, you know, you mean well. When I say them, and I say them a lot, I mean well, but it's hard for people to really take you up on that kind of vague offer. So if you can be specific, hey, you know what? Tuesdays between 10 and 12, I have free time. I would love to help you out doing X, Y, or Z. Or, you know, this is the time that I have available. And that gives them the opportunity to say, yeah, sure, that would be great. Instead of tracking you down and saying, remember that time when you said, if there's anything I can do, which I don't want to throw people that say that under the bus. I do it all the time. And like I said, that is where I struggle. So when offering help, be specific. Help out with chores. Nobody's going to say no to that, right? The other thing to keep in mind is to keep inviting. And it is hard for caregivers to commit to things. It is hard for them to have everything align in once where they have the time, the money, the energy, the whatever to go out. So if it doesn't happen, just keep inviting. Last thought before we go into break, offer words of encouragement. I'd love to talk a little bit about that more when we come back. And I also would love to hear your caregiving stories and the caregivers in your life that you would like to thank and honor. I would be honored if I could give them a shout out. So give me a call after this short break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hallenbrand, and today we are talking all things family caregiver in honor of National Family Caregiver Month. This is a month that we honor and thank family caregivers, as well as raise awareness of the caregiving role. I was talking earlier before the break, ways that we can honor family caregivers. Some people may say, yeah, I know a caregiver, but I don't know what to do. What am I supposed to do? Come up to them and say, Happy National Family Caregiver Month? No, there I have a whole list. Well, you can do that. They probably would appreciate that as well. But you can also provide respite, check in, just listen. You don't have to answer or you don't have to solve problems. Just listen. When offering advice or when offering help, be specific. Offer to help out with chores. Keep inviting. Caregiving is hard. Caregivers are tired. They lack time. Getting out can be difficult, but important. So keep asking. And the other one is to offer words of encouragement. And this is something that, you know, Sherry could probably do to her sister in Arizona. Is just give a call. And I'm sure that she does. I'm absolutely sure that she does. But when, you know, offering words of encouragement, you know, hey, I saw a woman helping her mom who was really struggling at a restaurant today. It made me think about how hard you work taking care of your mom. Just wanted to let you know, I was thinking about you. I hope you have a great day. Excuse me, I got a tickle in my throat. What am I missing? How are you honoring the caregivers that you know? Give me a call if you want to share your caregiving story. I would love to hear it if there's a caregiver that you would like to honor. Also, super curious to hear about what people think should be done on a federal, state, and local level. Give me a call at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. And as I mentioned earlier, I have some caregiver gift boxes that I would absolutely love to send out to some caregivers. So if you want to call and give me your own personal story or a story of a caregiver that you would like to acknowledge, I would love to send them a little fun self-care gift box in the mail. Nothing like getting stuff in the mail, especially when it's not Amazon. How often does that happen, right? I am Liza Hallenbrand, and you are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we are talking about National Family Caregiver Month. One thing that I really wanted to point out, and this kind of goes back to the isolation part and feeling alone, is that every year during this National Family Caregiver Month, they give a theme. And this year's theme is Caregivers Connect. Last year it was Caregiving Happens, like it just happens whether you want it to or not. This year, Caregivers Connect. The theme highlights how important it is for caregivers to build strong connections and access to information, share experiences, and find support. Statistics reveal that between 40 and 70% of caregivers experience clinical symptoms of depression, which can often be caused by feelings of isolation and loneliness associated with the caregiving experience. And you may say, you know, how can you feel isolated and lonely in today's world? But it most definitely happens. I'm going to have to stop and take a quick drink of water here. Sorry, excuse me about that. So, itch in the throat. Isolation absolutely happens as a caregiver. I've experienced it personally, you know, and it can happen on a couple different reasons. It can be, you know, people that just withdraw from previous habits and lifestyle. You know, while their friends continue their daily routines, some caregivers are left to feel alone in their caregiving duties. And likewise, caregivers without support from other caregivers in similar situations may feel as though no one really understands the situation. And, you know, lastly, they may actually be isolated. If there are many people out there that are caring for someone 24/7. I recall reading a story of someone, I believe it was England, I can't remember the exact location, but they're going through the same challenges there, and she couldn't find any paid caregivers, and nobody was stepping up to the plate to help. Her son required 24/7 care. At one point, she claims that she was up nearly 60 hours because he had some kind of tracheal tube that could get clogged, and if it did, he could pass. So he literally needed somebody watching him for 24/7. So isolation is most definitely real, and you know, I don't think in my caregiving experience with my son with autism, I felt it quite as much, but on the parenting front, I definitely did. I had a daughter when I was 20, not sure if I would recommend that, but when I was with other 20-year-olds, my other 20-year-olds out, it was really clear that we were night and day different. You know, when I was working 40 hours a week and raising a kid as a single mom and they're 20-year-olds in college, there was nothing in common there. So there was definitely feelings of isolation. So that can be one thing. I do know having my son with autism, you know, people at first kind of felt, I wouldn't think scared is the right word, but they didn't know, especially 20 years ago when there was much less information on autism. So stay connected to those caregivers. Keep encouraging them to connect with you. And like I had said, it may take a couple no's because they're busy and they're tired and they need to find respite if they're going to be going out. But that connection is key and crucial to one's mental health. I would love to hear your thoughts about caregiving. Give me a call at 844-967-2789. I'll be back after this short break.
And actually, this is the end of the show.
I will not be back after this short break. I will be back next week. Have a great week and happy National Caregivers Month.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local civic media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.